We look into the face of God every day. Glory to God. When the sun rises, we're looking into the face of God. When spring comes and those flowers come, we're looking into the face of God. Everything we see is really the face of God. Amen. So I'd like to turn your attention to Matthew, the first chapter. I hope you get as excited about it today as you did when you first were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Matthew 1, starting in verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. So here's a godly man, espoused or engaged to a godly woman, a virgin, but they never knew each other. And now, if you'll turn to Acts, the second chapter, I've read the scripture before. Amen. Aren't you glad we can read it over and over again? Acts 2 and 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. There was a birth at Bethlehem, and there was a birth in the upper room. And each of us had a birthplace where we were overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we conceived of the Lord. That which is in you, hallelujah, is the Lord. Lord, please bless and anoint, touch as only you can. God, we appreciate visitors. We appreciate those who have been so faithful over these last few months, God. We ask your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. 2,000 years ago, there was a man born against the laws of nature. This man lived in poverty and was raised in obscurity. He had no formal education. As a baby, he frightened the king. As a child, he confounded the high priest. As a man, he ruled the course of nature, walked on water as if it were pavement. He healed the multitudes with no medicine. He never wrote a book besides the Bible, yet all of the libraries in the world could not contain the books that have been written about this man. He never founded a college, but he has more students. Than all of the colleges throughout the world. He never got a medical degree, but he has healed more people than all of the doctors. Because of him, every 7 days, the wheels of commerce stop, and the multitude make their way to a place to worship this man who they never met in person. Many great men have come and gone, and their names are forgotten, but that wonderful name of Jesus, it stands forever. It is a powerful name. Yet so many don't understand the power of that name. If you'll turn to Philippians 2, I'm going to take my time tonight. Philippians 2, starting in verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, supreme being, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. And then if you'll turn back to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and 23. It says, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. So the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament revealed. Amen. His name is Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. The Bible tells us that we can't be saved without that name. Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Christmas story is all about the coming of the flesh of God in order to be that perfect sacrifice hanging on a tree for us. And with the revealing of the flesh of God also was the revealing of the name of God. Up until this time, God did not have a name. There were titles. There were opinions. The message of Christmas is that God, not a junior member of the deity, not a part of the trio, that Jesus is the totality of God in flesh and spirit. Colossians 2 and 9 said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily or physically. The Christmas story begins with a young Jewish girl named Mary. I love this song that talks about how this baby was the great I Am. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. Understand that she was not married at the time of the birth of Jesus. And this was a horrible stigma at the time, actually worthy of death. You know, when she insisted that Jesus do this first miracle at this marriage, turning the water into wine, she was then vindicated. All of these years, probably people looked down at her because she had a baby out of wedlock, and she told them, this is the Lord. Now they knew. Amen. Luke 1 and 35 says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, the anointed flesh of God. Now, that word overshadowed is only used 3 times in the Gospels. One, to describe Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where the Holy Ghost overshadowed him, describing a bright cloud overshadowing Jesus and his disciples, Peter, James, and John. There was a transfiguration as they were overshadowed by a bright cloud from heaven, just as Mary was transfigured as conception took place in her. Now, what I find so intriguing is that same Greek word for overshadowed was also used in Acts 1 and 8. Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1 and 8 that they too would be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And the words come upon you is the same Greek word overshadowed. So the same way that God's flesh was entering into this world, it is the same way we were born of the Spirit of God, overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. So Mary was a type and a shadow of each of us that were going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We also gave birth to Christ in our life. Colossians 1 and 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. We have conceived of Jesus in us in an overshadowing where we were filled with the Holy Ghost, a conception that took place in each of us. And at the time, we weren't married. See, we're still just engaged to Jesus. But there's going to come a time when we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So the greatest value on earth is the revelation that we, like Mary, were overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and have Christ in us, the conception of God dwelling in us as God was dwelling in Mary. For Mary, the hope of the world, for us, the hope of eternal life. There was first Bethlehem, and then there was the upper room, both the birth of Christ. Colossians 1 and 15 said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? In the Old Testament, he was God above us. In the Gospels, he was God with us. But from the time of the upper room, he's God in us. Not just up there someplace, not just in the form of a body, but now God in us, getting closer and closer. Hallelujah. The word, well, let's take a look at 1 Timothy 3. First Timothy 3 and verse number 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That word mystery refers to something that was once hidden and later is revealed. I think of all of the Old Testament patriarchs and all of the Old Testament prophets that went through the motions but didn't know who God really was. To think that the great God who filled all of heaven and earth should compress himself into a human body, that he would live inside of me, the supreme deity becomes a servant to his own creation. I'm talking about Christmas and the greatest gift that the world could receive. The Bible tells us in the end time, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. In other words, he's going to give gifts to more people now than he has ever given from the beginning of the world. Every 20 minutes, someone in this world is filled with the Holy Ghost. And God's just getting started, folks. Because he wants to give the best gift. The best gift. The best gift. The everlasting gift. The eternal gift. The gift that will last forever. That takes care of every need that we have. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? Mary, did you know? Now use your name. Did you know? Did you know the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, lives inside of you? If you get nothing for Christmas, you already have everything that you could possibly want. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You might want to take some time to just come and thank him. Amen. I can't wait till we get through this and we are able to hug each other and shake hands again. But there's no social distancing with God. You can get as close to him as you want. Amen. Glory to God.